Welcome back to another GVO podcast, the Good Vibes Only podcast. On today's episode, I have a real good friend of mine on, Maya. Join us for absolute ADHD talk, where we barely finish one topic and swiftly move along to the next. As usual, we are uncut, unfiltered, and uncensored, and strap yourself in for a chaotic and fun podcast.
Him being a digital, and I'm like, I so badly wanted to be there. And
what kind of music is it though?
It's like, it's definitely, because it's like still Netherlands, so it's definitely like techno scene type. I don't know the different type of technos, but it's good music.
Yeah.
And so 2 years ago we did that, but like I didn't know what the vibe would be. Mm-hmm. So I just saw one day on like Instagram scrolling, I was like checking, it was like festival. Same time that I'm in Amsterdam.
Okay. Yeah.
Like during our spring break. So I just told like the friends that we were going with, I was like, just get a ticket. Just get a ticket. And now we pull up to the festival and like, my God, this is the first time like properly traveling in Europe, and it's like a lot of different things. And we get there, they only sell water.
Aha, it's one of those. I've been to those festivals.
Now, imagine booking a ticket for one of those festivals months beforehand, not knowing what it really is.
Yeah.
Now, we get there and it's like, oh yeah, let's go get beers. No beers. And I remember, like, I remember this really well. We were like dancing and I was still checking the whole environment around because it was like a super high up festival. Like there was like art here and like big DJ sets and like everyone was there. And this one girl like checks me out. And I think she just realizes that I'm like maybe a bit uncomfortable, maybe like...
Sober. You were sober.
And she whips out like fucking fanny pack.
What do you want?
Yeah, and pulls out like... She takes like her sunglasses off and just like scoops like a whole, it looks like a fucking whole scoop of just crystal.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, what the fuck's this? I like,
oh, you didn't know. You're a little baby.
Yeah, I was not educated. And then so she whips out the scoop and I check and I'm like, no, I can't do that. Can't do that. Still naive.
Always take drugs from strangers, don't you know?
Yeah, rule number
one. Wait, was she offering it for free or did you have to pay for it?
I think she was offering it for free.
Okay, never say no to free drugs, please. The number one rule of life, never say no to free drugs.
How to have a good trip.
Yeah.
Now, so she offers it, I'm like, no. And then, but we in any way end up like, the friends that I was with end up getting a bag.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, okay, I don't know what this is. I just know it's crystals.
You do it first.
Yeah. Just dip your pinky in, like take a bit and then we'll figure it out. And of course it was MDMA.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I like in retrospect look back, it was definitely MDMA. But pure fucking crystal. Like,
yeah, you're in the Netherlands.
Yeah. Like what? 7, 8 a.m. that morning, the whole festival shuts down. They kick everyone out. We still having a ball of a time. We fucking, like, energize the buddies. And yeah, now, so I saw him at the digital festival, like, 2 weeks ago. And I was like, damn.
Hmm.
If I was just not as broke, like, Amsterdam would have 100% happened over spring break. But
there's one festival sort of thing that goes on in Amsterdam. I don't remember what it's called, but my sister talks about it every year, where the whole city shuts down. So, like, they'll turn a kebab shop into a club, or the central station becomes a club. And so they bring in, like, these really big DJs to all these random restaurants, shops, stations, and they just turn it into a nightclub for like a whole week. And so anywhere you go, you could just walk into the cafe that you usually go to and then everyone's partying and turning up in there. But imagine trying to commute home to Central Station one night at like midnight just to get home, and you're walking through an entire club of people like grinding their jaws and techno. And
I've seen some crazy videos of like partiers after like Amsterdam, or they're in Amsterdam, they're mm-hmm. just fucking tweaking. Like they're just on the street, like melting around and like just dancing. Like, yeah, definitely interesting.
Amsterdam is a pretty tame city though, compared to Budapest. I mean, if you go out in the times that I've gone out in Amsterdam, there's a lot more events and not just, and people I think are more responsible, or they contain it a lot more than in Budapest, because Budapest is just a playground for British people to come.
Oh, 100%.
But Amsterdam is now kicking out the British people, and they're also, they want to move the red light district outside of Amsterdam. So they want to get rid of tourism completely, and it's almost impossible for foreigners to move there. So they're trying to make it Dutch again.
That's interesting, because I think like the tourism part of Amsterdam does bring a lot of money for them. Because when you, if I just hear Amsterdam, I think marijuana,
mm-hmm.
I think hookers,
yeah,
and I think Netherlands, I guess.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that they don't want the Netherlands to be branded as a party city like Budapest is, for example. They want it to be more wholesome and family-oriented and everything, so they want to take the red light district and move it outside of Amsterdam, I think, like to the suburbs, because there's another one in De Pijp, which is another neighborhood, and so they want to move all the red light districts outside of the city. But I think that, like, sure, I get the concept, but at the same time, it doesn't, that's just going to make for illegal prostitution in within the city, because people are still, there's still going to be a market for it, because
always
that's what Amsterdam
market.
So yeah. What they're trying to do with making prostitution safe for the women is just going to be completely reversed if they move it outside of the city. And even to rent an apartment to a foreigner within the city as a landlord, you need to have a special permit. So a lot of people don't want to rent to foreigners. So it's almost impossible to find a place to stay there.
Oh, that's actually, yeah. Like, Netherlands, like, imagine changing your name from, like, let's say Snoop Dogg.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You immediately like, oh, marijuana, weed.
Yeah.
Like having a whole personality change and looking at Snoop Dogg and being like, yeah, wholesome.
Yeah. Amsterdam is wholesome though. I don't know. Like, I really enjoy going out there because there's activities and there's a lot of art and museums and everything. Budapest is, I don't know, you go more east and it's just a...
Yeah, it just gets
a
like
playground.
More
standards and less.
Like hectic, chaotic,
yeah,
as you go more east.
That being said, I really want to go to King's Day. I think
King's Day.
Yeah, King's Day. I don't know if it's the the Independence Day. No, I don't. It's just the national holiday of the Netherlands, and I guess they have huge parades and huge parties just on the street all day, and everyone is just going out and drinking and having a good time, and everyone wears orange.
Oh, that sounds like a F1 race or something.
Yeah,
like
no, it's King's Day. It's a huge holiday. And it's like the holiday in the Netherlands. It's kind of like, yeah, the whole city shuts down, or like all the big cities shut down and everyone celebrates.
I do feel like Dutch people have good times. Like, it is a nice, because they have carnival, something like that.
I don't know.
Where everyone like dresses up in like, it's like Halloween, but more fun spirited.
I thought that was a German. I know it's a German holiday. Do they do it in the Netherlands as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, I think they do it in the Netherlands as well. Because I used to stay with, I did like exchange to Ghent,
mm-hmm.
and I lived with Dutch students.
Yeah.
And then they were just like, you know, because I feel like because
Wait,
my
Ghent was in Belgium.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but you were with Dutch students.
Yeah, with Dutch students, because a lot of them just go mm-hmm. over the border because it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
It's like same education.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel there's a big connection between South Africans and Dutch people because we do...
Because you are
they
Dutch.
They did colonize us. Yeah, they did colonize
us. No, you colonized South Africa. Not us. You are the colonizer.
I'm going to claim victim. I'm going to claim victim.
You speak Afrikaans. You are Afrikaans.
I'm South African and I got colonized by the Dutch.
Okay.
Yeah, probably not true. But so there is like a big connection between like the cultures. And when I was there, they were just like informing me about like all the crackhead shit Dutch people do for
mm-hmm.
like, and I'm like, hell yeah, like, this is awesome. Like they have carnival where they just day drink the whole day. Everyone like dresses in like cool, funky clothes. And then, yeah, they just go out and it's like that for a week and then it's finished.
Yeah. And then they go back to like, being productive members of society.
Yeah. That's great.
What is your national holiday? Do people do that in South Africa? Is there a day where everyone kind of unifies and just goes and day drinks and takes over the streets?
I would say Heritage Day is close to that, like Heritage Day, but it's not, you don't have a lot of people like running up and down the street and parades and stuff. Everyone is just at home with a bunch of friends, braaiing, barbecuing. That's
celebrating
probably that.
Celebrating their heritage.
Literally celebrating their heritage.
How do Afrikaans people celebrate their heritage?
With a large fire and a lot of wood.
Okay.
A lot of good meat.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of brandy.
Oh, God, the brandy.
Yeah, the brandy.
No, the not brandy.
The brandy gets the party started.
Uh-huh. And finishes it.
Depends how well you can handle it, I guess. But, yeah, no. But every time I go to Amsterdam, or when I've been to Amsterdam, the one time, the weather was amazing. And it really felt, when the weather is good there, it's just like screams home.
It does,
It just screams home, because everyone is like happy because the sun's out. Mm. It's in general a nice place, and Dutch people are like outgoing. I think they're extroverts in general.
Dutch people?
Yes!
No. Dutch people are very friendly, but like, in the same way that Americans are friendly.
Okay.
They'll always be smiling and, like, outgoing, and the customer service is amazing, but it's I think it's harder to integrate into a Dutch friend group, or, like, to find Dutch friends.
I think that might just be a disconnect, because I feel like I could easily integrate into a Dutch friend group.
Maybe.
Somehow.
I love going to the Netherlands. I always say that when I go in the springtime, it's such a nice getaway. Because I'll go with my sister and we'll sit down at a brunch place or whatever, and everyone is outside just enjoying a Saturday morning with their friends. Like, you see Dutch people enjoying the city, which I don't think I get to see very often here. But everyone is so happy and smiling, and like, the vibes are just really nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
It's a happy place to be.
Have you ever been to Keukenhof?
What?
Keukenhof.
No, what is Keukenhof?
It's like the large tulip park. Outside of Amsterdam.
Oh. No, I haven't.
Like, I went there once, also, when I was there, and it's literally amazing. Like, it's just fields and fields of, like, these beautiful, bright flowers, and you're like, holy sh... And I took mushrooms also there. So it was...
In the tulip?
Yeah, in the tulip fields. Yeah. Like, me and... I was at least of sober people there, so I was just chilling. They were just making sure I'm fine.
Uh-huh.
And then, it was quite an experience. Like, a weird thing that I got from it was, this is just, it's too early in the day to have these high talks, but I was looking at the flower and it felt so sexual to me. So, okay, wait, let me explain.
Okay.
Right? So, what I got from the whole feel of the day was these flowers were selected and bred to be the most beautifulest, brightest flowers that they can be.
Tulips, okay, yeah.
You know the tulip crash. But anyway, that's a different thing.
Yeah, I do know the tulip crash.
And then, so all these beautiful flowers, and they were selling like... this flower, and it just like spreads out. I don't think it's a tulip, but it felt very like sexually exposing. It's like so weird to explain.
A promiscuous tulip.
Very, very. But this is also the mushroom story. So I was like looking at the flowers, like fucking dangerous flower.
I'm gonna have to buy you some tulips now, just to remind you, just a single tulip.
Yeah, but no, I really like Amsterdam. But the tulip crash is interesting. How they literally made the financial crisis in 2008, same story in America.
But this was a long time ago.
Yeah, the tulip crash or the bubble, that was there. That was also like a long time ago. But I think that was like the first artificially created like bubble, if that makes sense.
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not the economics person here.
I can talk about this, but I know I'm just talking bullshit. So I'll just stop myself before
I'm not gonna say anything.
Yeah, before I start too much. But I just know that they just went for higher and higher prices, even though it was not worth that much, because
who the fuck is buying tulips?
Well, back in the day, everyone
apparently
was.
Apparently, a lot there of people are buying tulips.
Frenzy into buying tulips.
I don't understand the thing with tulips. Like, why are tulips such a thing in the Netherlands?
That's actually a good question.
Why tulips?
This is where I need a producer to check some shit up.
I guess, I don't know, maybe they're from the Netherlands. But you went to the Netherlands last year, didn't you? Less than a year ago. You guys
Well, that was more like we just popped in.
Oh.
We sort of just, because we did the road trip type thing, so yeah. It was just quick.
Mm.
It was stop at a coffee shop and...
and keep going.
Yeah, keep going, keep managing, yeah. Yeah. What do you call it? Did you see Putin was re-elected again?
I did see
Putin 88%! 88%!
Re-elected or reinstated or just stayed? And Navalny died.
Navalny, who's that?
Navalny. He's the opposition. He was in the opposition party. He was the guy who was poisoned a few years back.
Yeah, I think I've heard of Navalny.
You haven't heard of Navalny? He was like the one guy who was... I don't know everything about this. I'm not an expert. But Navalny was the one guy who actually had a chance against Putin. And he was an opposition leader against him and spoke out publicly against him. And then he was mysteriously poisoned a few years back and had to be... And somehow survived. And he went to Germany and got better. But he was basically like a political refugee in Germany. And I think he ended up going back to Russia. I don't know if he ended up going back to Russia, but he just recently died before the election.
Yeah, not long ago. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Right before the election, he died, and then, yeah, and then Putin was...
I just know the oligarchs were not a big fan of him. Like, all of the oligarchs were not a fan of him.
Because
he
was all being supported by Putin.
Yeah, literally. He was, like, speaking against what Putin was trying to make. And then, yeah. I mean, they are savages. They are savages in that land.
Yeah, it's a dictatorship. I think everywhere is corrupt, though. That's the thing. It's just, at least they're open about it. Like, they're killing people. Yeah, obviously, the government killed Navalny, and Putin is a dictator. But it's the same thing in the U.S. I think the U.S. is just as corrupt as...
You guys just have better PR. You guys have just
better
HR.
We're just really good at hiding it. But if you look at all the political families in the U.S., like, there's a very small amount of people that run the entire country. But that's how it is everywhere. That's how politics is everywhere.
Yeah, what families do you have that... You have the Kennedys?
The Kennedys, the Clintons.
Is it the Clintons? Hillary, yeah. The Clintons, yeah. And then the Obamas, maybe.
No.
No, not really.
No, the Obamas are not... They're... Oh, I wish Michelle Obama would run for president.
I think she might still slip herself in there.
No, definitely not.
You don't think
so? I'm reading her book, or I guess I'm listening to her book right now, and because she narrates it, and it's just making me think, oh God, the 2024 election is coming up, and Michelle Obama is the only person I think I would ever vote for.
She's the only one saving the Democrats? No, Republicans?
She's not a politician anymore. But yeah, Obama was a Democrat.
Yeah, the Democrats. Yeah, yeah. Because Joe Biden is useless. I'll stick to my word there.
Well,
Trump is like on this crazy rampage at the moment where the whole country is just like backing him.
I tried. So I've stayed out of all of this for so long, or I've really tried to. And so the other day I was like, okay, the election's coming up. I'm going to be moving back to the U.S. soon, or relatively soon. So I should probably look at what's going on. I just Googled 2024 election and looked at the candidates. It was like a New York Times article. And it was Trump was the only Republican candidate. I don't know how that's possible.
The rest of them dropped out.
Yeah.
Ron DeSantis, he drops out. Vivek Ramaswamy.
Okay, thank God DeSantis dropped out. That would have been, I don't know who would have been worse, Trump or DeSantis. Good God. No, but then, and then it's Biden for the Democrats, or Oprah Winfrey's spiritual advisor. What? You're telling me that one of the biggest world powers and the only people that are willing to run for president are Trump and Biden and whoever this woman is? And then there was another guy too, but I don't remember.
How does she start running for president? Like this spiritual...
She's a self-help author. I don't know how true this is anymore.
Oprah Winfrey.
I think the Kennedy, I don't know for sure, but I think the Kennedy who was running dropped out of the race, so.
Robert or something. RF Kennedy. I don't know. He has this weird voice. He has this.
I think he's also anti-vax, so.
Yeah, but he's. I mean, there's a lot of things you can bring up about the vaccination and stuff like that. Like, Hey, hey. How much of COVID, right, that got advertised to us turned out to be false advertisement?
Because nobody knew. Isn't it better? Like, I think a government's job is to protect its people.
How do you think no one knew? I think they were, like, Antoine Fauci. I think Fauci is one of the head guys at Pfizer or something.
Yeah.
Same shit. Like, it was all a race to who can make the most money first, because that was what the vaccine would do. FDA clearance first in the case of COVID, because everyone was rushing to get a vaccine that was ethical for human use. And then the first thing that got FDA approved is the drug that's going to get distributed the fastest. So if you are Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, fucking all these different places, if you get FDA approved first, you are swimming in cash. Well, and that's what Big Pharma cares about.
But these pharmaceutical companies also have the most money and resources. I don't think, of course, like, the pharmaceutical industry is a big topic, which I don't even think I know enough about. But I do generally, I don't think that they were just trying. You think that the vaccine doesn't work then?
No, that definitely does help. But I do think it shouldn't have been given to so many people that it has been given to.
But that's the point of herd immunity. Like, that's, you have to give it to that many people because it was such a fast replicating virus that it was being transmitted at a rate that everyone needs the vaccine. Theoretically, everyone should get the flu vaccine every year.
And then, okay, let's say everyone gets, because I also try and take the flu vaccine pretty much every year.
When was the last time you got the flu vaccine?
Actually, like, not, I think last year.
Oh, really? Year, you're better than me. Yeah. I haven't had it in like 10 years.
No, I did go. I'm a bit hesitant of vaccines because I just don't like it as much anymore. Gives me bad vibes. Gives me bad aura. Gives me like a PTSD from...
Preventing deadly diseases gives you a bad vibe?
Yes, it got fucking, now it got put into me.
Your immune system is not good enough to fight off these...
Maya, I'm from Africa. Africa people survive.
No, you don't.
Wakanda forever.
No, you're dying of malaria. I'm not even
kidding. We have Ebola as well. Ebola is also pretty fun.
Yeah, you have a lot.
Tetanus is a big thing in Africa. All of the
tropical diseases, the parasites.
Yeah.
The amoeba, like, no.
Exactly. So when we go to Europe, we chillin'. There's no.
Yeah, you are chilling. You are chilling for sure.
Okay, but still, I still think that the large, like, it was almost like a craze that got put into people, this fear craze, and that was unnecessary. Because I don't think the COVID itself was that deadly that it needed to be put at the level that it was. Like, imagine media never existed, right? Like, this was the start of the thing, like the start of the whole pandemic. I was telling my mom, I was like, imagine there was nothing like media. Worldwide media where everyone knows what's going on everywhere. Like, China would have just whispered along and being like, yo, you might get a cough soon. The cough would come and then it will just disappear again because it wouldn't have been that bad. But from a whisper into someone's ear, posting it worldwide, that everyone knows there is this illness coming and it's coming to your city soon.
Yeah.
That just sounds like a fucking horror movie.
It is a horror movie. And I think, like, the media definitely played a big part into everyone, you know, this fear and... Yeah, it's horrible. But at the same time, who do you think was doing... Like, I was working... Not working, but, like, I was in the hospitals during COVID. I was doing the autopsies on the patients who died of COVID. There was one patient who was a 36-year-old woman who had just given birth, and we had to do an autopsy on her because she had died of COVID. And I saw, you could physically see the lungs, the difference in COVID lungs, someone dying from COVID and someone dying from the flu. They looked different. They were heavy. They were boggy. And the thing about COVID is that they were causing blood clots in the lungs, which is really uncommon. Usually if someone gets a blood clot in their lung, it's coming from their leg. But COVID was causing coagulation of the blood in the lungs and killing people. And this 36-year-old mother, her uterus, had to have a C-section. And then she was put on an ECMO, like the extracorporeal like oxygenation system, and okay. came to the pathology lab, still with it attached to her body, and her uterus had just been re-sewn up. So people
that's
that told
pretty
me,
intense.
It was really intense. We had every single day that we were in the pathology lab, there was a new person that was dying of COVID. So I'm not saying, yes, it probably is true that, you know, there was a lot more fear surrounding COVID than was maybe necessary. And it was really terrifying. And, you know, the whole like social distancing and nobody leaving their house for a few years, like that had a major negative impact on the economy and on people's like psyche also. But it was a very serious disease. And I think the fear was needed because we didn't know. And we didn't know how fast it could replicate and where it was going to go. And now it's, you know, we're not past it, but like for the most part past it, but they were transforming entire hospitals into COVID wards here. So you can't tell me that COVID wasn't that big of a deal when they had to shut down actual hospitals to make space for the amount of people that were going into, you know.
I mean, they needed to create like pop-up hospitals for a lot of places because
exactly.
there weren't enough space for people. But do I still think there was an overreaction? I do think there was a slight overreaction in what it was.
But are you from like, are you on the opinion that, you know, if someone gets it and dies, then that's just how it should be?
I think a lot of the people that got it ended up already being unhealthy people, already with
absolutely
with obesity running in it, hypertension, all these, maybe chronic smoker, that probably also extra thing that could have happened there. You do find cases where super healthy people with no problem at all just drop dead. And that's like, we had in our high school, same shit. Like the dad was like a marathon runner and then he just dies one day. Like out of the blue, just seizure, dead, blood clot, I don't know. Like cases like that happen, but I do think the majority of the people who were dying were either old or they were younger but with comorbidities. For example, they would have obesity. How many people were that like?
Oh, most people. I don't disagree with you on that. Yeah, of course, the people that are at risk are the immunocompromised. The people that are obese or, you know, have all these comorbidities, but what about the people that have cancer or autoimmune diseases or all of these things? And I know that's a small portion of the population, but that also like begs the question, should people with diabetes and all of these like preventable health diseases not be given the same health equity? Like, should they not be given the same opportunities health-wise as people that are healthy?
No.
Or should
that,
we just let the old people die too?
Ah, see. Okay. I do think this is a half a weird thing to say, because what I'm going to say is not going to correlate with what I'm meaning in the COVID sense, but I do think today's medicine is much more of like, how long can I make you live, but not how long can I give you quality of life. It's more about like lifespan and not life quality.
Yeah.
So for a lot of the people, I would say, honestly, just fucking hang up the boots. Like, you had a good time. Just like in it while it's good.
Yeah.
But then you have like medicine that's going to be like, it's okay, it's okay. We'll give you 10 more years. You'll live 10 more years. The person is in the bed for the rest of their 10 years.
No.
But like,
I'm a big proponent for euthanasia.
It should be like,
yeah,
to a certain extent. But don't let, okay, let's say there is an old person coming in and severe COVID, like, it's on his last limbs. Try, and then if it doesn't happen, fuck. Man, life goes on. Like, it's a bit, yeah.
Yeah, I think that health, a lot of people have the idea that, you know, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. So then they're just going to eat whatever they want and not take care of their bodies. But I think a lot of that starts with education. People just don't know, and people have access to all these conveniences in life, so they don't need to take care of their health. People don't realize what it means to take care of their health because they're not taught that. So then it leads to all of these other, you know, like diabetes and heart disease and all of these things. So then it's, the idea goes to like preventing death rather than living a quality life. But if we just like integrate more health into the, preventative medicine is more important than the medicine that is happening now.
Yeah, we don't have, like, that's also the thing that happened in COVID, where I was like, we didn't try and prevent or at least treat the disease. We went straight for a cure. You know, normally if, like, let's say...
are people supposed to start, like, jogging who have diabetes to try to, like, not have diabetes anymore so that they don't get COVID and die?
No, find treatment for the symptoms of COVID. And then, if it goes too bad, then you go for vaccine later on and stuff like that. But there was, for me personally, there was a big jump from, oh, this disease broke out. Let's not find a treatment for it, let's find a cure for it.
But that's not,
and then the rush to vaccines. No, you can still help people. You can give them vitamin D. How many people with vitamin D deficiencies ended up with large COVID problems? Or like, see, I also don't know enough. I just know vitamin D was a big proponent
helps
in the whole
with viruses?
Immunity. Like your immune system is highly reliant on vitamin D.
Maybe, but I think if it was a bacteria that was being spread in that way, then yeah, I would agree. But with viruses, there's nothing you can really do once someone has a virus.
Use antivirals?
Yeah, but
like ivermectin?
That's not an antiviral.
It is an antiviral.
No, that's an antiviral. That's a parasitic.
Okay.
You are a veterinarian.
I thought it was antiviral.
No, it's
a parasitic.
It's for parasites. But it actually, I mean, I don't think, there's a big controversy around ivermectin, but I remember when I had my pulmonology rotation, our last lecture was on COVID, and this doctor came in and just gave an hour and a half presentation showing us like non-certified data about how ivermectin is actually useful for COVID.
Yeah.
It very well could be. Maybe it does work for COVID, but it's not a cure for COVID. That's the thing, is it's a virus. So you can't cure, or you can't treat a virus.
Then how do you kill a virus?
Your immune system fights it off. You have to wait until the virus, I mean, that's why, you know, you can't cure AIDS, or you can't cure HIV, you can't cure herpes. You can treat the symptoms, so you can take something, like if you have a cold sore, then you can put something on your cold sore, but it's not going to treat it or make it go away. Maybe it'll make the time a little bit, like, shorter until you're healed, but yeah, you can't treat a virus. So that's why we had the vaccine, to prevent it happening in the first place, because once you get COVID, you have it. There's nothing you can do about it besides take some ibuprofen.
I still don't think it was that bad that it needed to be treated in the way it was. I think it was much worse. Okay.
Now everyone's getting a lesson on COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. Both of us are not... You at least have something you can bring to the table. You at least have the medicine world experience.
It's my job.
Yeah, it's your job.
But it's my job. This is what I've been studying for. And people don't listen to doctors. Not saying that I should be listened to on everything health-wise, but I would hope that I have a little bit more of an understanding than the general population.
But I think you were saying earlier about, like, preventing it or something like that. I wanted to ask, how many people actually know about nutrition? Because I find it so odd that you guys study human medicine.
And we're not taught about nutrition?
No, you're
it's
not.
It's insane. Well, we are. We're taught biochemistry, but not about, like, general nutrition? No, we're not.
Now, there's this big mystery about not having nutrition, and then trying to teach people that, oh, this is how you live a healthy life or a healthy diet and stuff. But no one knows it.
Well,
you don't get taught it.
There's dietitians. We are taught it.
It should be self-knowledge. It should be like common knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, we are taught about, that's a dietitian's field, but we are taught a little bit about it, but it's not something that we do.
Nothing in depth.
Yeah, but it depends, like, on which specialty you go into, because there's certain specialties where you work with a team of people, so you work with, like, a therapist and dietitian, and then the dietitian takes care of everything. But, like, I just had my rehabilitation block the other day, and we did like a body composition scan. Have you ever done one of those?
No.
It's really cool. What is that? So you go, so you like take your height, and then you stand on the scale and you hold it, and it, based on the impedance in your body, it measures exactly how much muscle mass, how much fat, like visceral fat, and...
So you like hold on something,
yeah,
and then it shakes or like
sends frequencies. No, it doesn't shake. No. Yeah, so it measures the impedance in your body because, you know, muscle and fat and water have different resistance.
Yeah.
So it measures the different, like the, I don't know, biophysics, I'm not good at any of this, but it basically measures how, exactly how much water, like intracellular water you have, extracellular water. It measures how much muscle mass you have, how much visceral adipose tissue you have, total amount of fat, and like it tells you exactly, you know, if you're dehydrated, if you need to gain more muscle, if you've lost weight recently, like it tells you everything.
And like how long does it take to...
17 seconds.
To get your whole body composition. Your entire
body. Yeah, it's really cool.
That is yeah. So cool.
And yeah, so I just did mine the other day. I'm always nervous to do it. I did it like 2 years ago, and I'm always like, oh God, what is this going to tell me?
That's like you.
What don't I want to know?
So like every year I need to do tests for the scholarship and stuff like that. Just in general, medical tests.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm fine, but I always get anxiety when I need to do an HIV test.
Oh, just the South African in you.
Just like, oh fuck.
Do I have AIDS?
Yeah. And it comes out negative. I'm like, fuck yeah. I knew it.
That's so funny because I have never even thought about that. But it's something that is very scary for all South. I didn't realize how common it was in South Africa.
Yeah.
It's like stubbing your toe, basically. Everyone has AIDS.
Yeah, it is actually bad. Like, South Africa has. But like I always tell you about South Africa, and like I feel always you get the impression that it just gets worse. It like never gets like, no. Oh yeah, this is nice. No, straight down.
My favorite part about South Africans is that they'll just go on a rant about how everyone has AIDS. It's super impoverished. You can't, if you're driving your car at night, you can't stop at a red light. You have to slow down, make sure all the doors are locked, the windows are up. You slow down right before the red light and wait till it turns green, but you never stop and you keep going. Never walk alone as a woman. And then, but then it ends with, but it's the best country in the entire world. Nothing is like South Africa.
That's literally everything. Every time I speak about South Africa or any of the South Africans that you know, exact same thing. We're like, yeah, highest unemployment rate. Like, everyone gets raped and murdered. It's just so bad. But.
It's awesome.
You should visit. You should visit.
But everyone who has visited said it is one of the best countries that they've ever been to.
Yeah, it is a nice country. You're planning on going there soon, I guess.
Hopefully. I need to finish my application.
If everything goes well.
If everything goes well, we'll see.
Yeah, because South Africa, like, I think you do get a lot of experience in the medical field. Because,
mm-hmm.
Let's say you work at Cape Town or something. Like, you have the general population that you treat, and that's, like, your more normal stuff. And then you have, like, the township and all those gang violence stuff that happens. So you get like emergency cases in, you get normal cases in.
Wait, I won't be working in a township, right?
No.
Okay,
no,
yeah, I don't think that would go over very well.
Like, but understand, like, townships are just integrated in all cities. Like, it's actually a sad thing. Like, you go into any town you'll find the super rich area. There's a few things you always find in the town in South Africa. Big, small, whatever. You drive in, church.
I was going to say,
Next to the church, bottle store or a liquor store. Then you have a very nice, like, central city area. And then just on the outskirts, you're guaranteed to have a township of just, like, shacks and metal houses and... Cardboard houses, like whatever they can find to make a house, and that's how
it is in the U.S. too. I don't think that the U.S. and South Africa are much different, because you go into any big city in the U.S. as well, and it's the same thing. You have the really nice areas, and you have the areas where if you go in there, you will be shot.
Yeah, but America got worse. I always imagined America as being, you know,
land of the free, home of the brave.
Took the words out of my mouth. And then now, I don't know, that's just me being pessimistic towards America. But
aren't you the one who always preaches don't listen to the media? You're the one that always says, I don't, like, the media is horrible, you can't trust the media, but then whenever anything about the U.S. is brought up, you're like, no, if you just look at the media, it's horrible. The U.S. has gone so downhill.
But they have, they have.
The U.S. is still the same U.S. that it was.
No, it's not.
Okay,
it's
I'll be the first one to shit on the U.S., but it's kind of like, you know, with your siblings, no one can shit on your siblings except for you.
Yeah, that's fair. It's like only the patriotism that just kicks in.
I'm American. I will shit on the U.S. I haven't lived in the U.S. for, 8 years now? But I will also be the one to defend it at any corner. Because I had a great time living there. I love the U.S.
It's the same. Like, I would also defend my country every day of, I do see all its flaws.
Exactly.
And it has a lot of flaws.
Yeah.
But I would still back up South Africa any day of the week.
So how could you shit on the U.S. so much when you're South African? We're two peas in a pod here.
I just like to think America, like, you guys are like a civilization that was thriving, and now you're at that point where all civilizations sort of end, or like, need to go down, and I think you guys are at that point.
Well, China's taking over the world.
And Russia probably as well.
No. China. Russia? Maybe. But China? Haven't you heard what's going on in Hungary? I guess China is, like, sending in a bunch of police officers to start policing in Budapest. And they're building a railroad. You know, what's scary about that is that what's right next to Budapest? On one side, you have Ukraine. And on the other side, you have the EU, the rest of the EU.
Literally.
And not to mention, like, everything that China has done in African countries, like in Kenya and Mozambique, they're building all this infrastructure. And slowly, that's how they're taking over the world. Same in El Salvador. They've done the same thing in El Salvador. Built all of this infrastructure completely. Like, El Salvador used to be one of the most dangerous places in the world, or in South America. And then there's a new president who came in and completely wiped out all of the gangs, built one of the highest security prisons in the world, and then, like, basically got rid of all of the drug problems, all of the cartel. China had their way in with it. And so now it's a very safe country. But where are all of these cartel members going now?
America.
Yes.
Across the border.
Yes. Dude, the cartel runs the U.S. That's it. Talk about corruption in politics. I am wholeheartedly convinced that the cartel runs the U.S.
Just by drug money? Or...
Yeah, you look at the opioid crisis that's going on. Like,
but
the cartel is one of the most...
That's Big Pharma.
No, it is not Big Pharma. Big Pharma? It started with Big Pharma. It is not Big Pharma anymore. It is the cartels.
Oh, because of fentanyl.
Fentanyl,
What do you mean with, what do they, like, flood in? What do the cartel people do to run America?
Drugs. I mean, not only drugs. The cartel is an extremely powerful entity. I don't even know what you would call it. Organization, I guess. That runs all, like, is completely infiltrated into the governments in a lot of countries in South America. And they have these huge manufacturing plants, basically, to just make meth and they ship it over into the U.S.
I mean, that sounds about right. Like, I think there's, also in Europe, like, there's some big fucking mafia gangs and shit that run a lot.
Really? But, like, from where? Is it, like, Russian?
Italy.
Or...
Italian.
Yeah. I've never heard that much about the Italian mafia.
I can quickly Google a few things, but so all I know is there's like a gang, 'Ndrangheta or something it's called, and they just run fucking everything. They just run everything. Like, I think 80% of the cocaine in Europe is handled by them.
And comes through Antwerp?
Yeah,
Antwerp is the biggest
drug capital, at the moment. But it's just because, like, I think Rotterdam, they, like, put a lot of regulations and, like, a lot more searching on. And then they were just like, okay, Rotterdam, you're getting busted on. Let's just move to the next port, Antwerp. And then they just fucking... And as soon as Antwerp brings that in, they'll just find another port. They'll literally just find another port to fucking put their cocaine in.
I don't know. Where else could that be? Where are the other ports? Italy? Why
yeah.
Wouldn't they just go through Italy?
No, but Italy is like, it's not central. You know, you want,
yeah.
you, where's the main drug use?
Sweden.
In,
it's going to be Sweden.
Yeah. Swiss? Yeah, Swiss. Swiss.
No, Swiss. No, Switzerland? No, Switzerland is too high class. Sweden.
Sweden, okay. Why Sweden?
Because Sweden has a lot of, has a very lax immigration policy. So people can come in and out very easily. And there's already a lot of gang and crime going on in Sweden.
Yeah, they have like the highest like murder rate at the moment in
yeah.
like Europe.
Yeah.
Like, how is that a thing? Like, you see Sweden and Swedish people and you're like, yeah, this is pretty tame people. They're super chilled. And then, because of the loose immigration laws, they do struggle with a lot of gang-related violence.
Mm-hmm.
That runs with it. It runs with poverty. It runs
yeah.
with poverty.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a...
It's not about the people. It's not about the people coming... It has nothing to do with the people coming in, but to do with the poverty that ensues.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
you put a bunch of troubled... impoverished people into a close quarter, then yeah
I don't, but still fucking don't just let them in. It fucks up the country. Like Germany as well. Germany is struggling.
Who just got their Hungarian passport?
as a great grandma.
Uh-huh.
And but still, so wait, leave this topic. Let's quickly go back.
Okay.
So all these like Chinese influence that's running into Hungary itself, like I do think Viktor Orban does run a lot more, is a lot more east-leaning than west-leaning.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, no, he's very independent from EU itself.
Yeah.
Like he is, like Hungary as a whole is part of the EU, but like how Viktor runs everything, like it's so well-regulated, I do think... Like, I will probably get smacked from this because Orban is not a much loved figure, but I do think he does a lot of great things for the country of Hungary. And he also leans more, he's probably friends with Putin or something. He's probably friends with one other Chinese man that just, he's like, yeah, I can come.
But what good things do you think that Orban has done for the country?
I know one of the good things that in the short term, I don't think people saw how good it was for the country, but I do think, so he instated like, you get so much off from the country. I think you get tax breaks if you have like 3 or 4 children.
Every country has that.
Yeah, I think Hungary, like they went hardcore on it.
No, but
like,
the US also does that. Most
yeah.
countries have that.
Well, in Europe, I'm not sure. I don't think Germany has something like that.
I'm pretty sure you get tax breaks.
Now, but so what Hungary did is they went very hardcore to that and they said to a lot of people that like, yo, get kids, get 1 or 2 kids, get build up the population, because the whole Europe is, you have this very low young people.
Most of the world has a declining population.
Not African countries.
Yeah, no, not African countries.
No,
we're just repopulating.
Yeah, that's all we do. That's what that's what Africa does.
We have children.
Yeah, because like half of them die during the process. So they're like, you know what?
Yikes.
Let's have 8 kids. 2 won't make it, but we still have 6. That's fucking...
Just keep going.
Yeah, that's a good workforce
yeah.
that you are building
yeah.
there. Where Europe doesn't have that young workforce... as much, and Orban did do well by trying to let the Hungarian people have more kids, build up a like population that will have
mm-hmm.
yeah, and that is one of the good things I thought he really did well, keeping out a lot of Western laws. That's also one of the things he did. He got into big trouble with the EU. Something von der Leyen, one other EU commissioner, I'm not sure. Speaking take all my words with a grain of salt. I'm just spitting shit. But he got into big trouble there because he was like, I'm not doing your refugee laws and like LGBTQ or at least sex education within primary to high schools. Like, he didn't want to subscribe to that. And due to those reasons, like, EU was just like, no, we're going to take billions of euros that should be paid to you. We're not just going to give it to you. You need to fall under this.
And you agree or disagree with that?
To a certain extent. That was like, the big problem was you didn't want to sign NATO or Sweden into NATO.
Mm-hmm.
And because to sign them in, he needs to also, certain laws and regulations he needs to follow. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, if you fall under the umbrella of EU or the UN, like, you need to have check marks done. You need to have that done. He didn't have all the check marks, and he was like, you know what, fuck that. I'm not going to sign the Sweden.
But that's
he keeps it independent. No, he's that's great because he keeps Hungary independent from the EU. He keeps Hungary as an entity itself. And he decides what is good for Hungary and what's not good for Hungary.
But I don't think that keeping sex education out of high schools is a good thing.
Primary school, definitely. I don't think kids that are 8 to 12, 8 to 13 need to already have high levels of sex exposure.
At 13?
At primary school. Like, wait a year and then you'll have sex education.
They're not having, like, the birds and the bees, but I think it's important to at least have conversations about puberty and how your body is changing and what that means to, like, get your secondary sex characteristics as a child, because a lot of girls go through that when they're 9 or 10.
Yeah, that is
so learning, like, true. What a period is, what body hair, like, what happens to you, like, that is a part of sex education, but it's not
that's
talking about
biological sex education. That's the basics of it. But I do think a lot of times, I can't speak about this because I'm not in primary school. I'm not a child in today's time, so I don't know what they are getting taught. But I do feel like a lot of the times children are very malleable, and especially in times like that where everything is changing, like, you don't know what the fuck's going on with your body, you don't even know what's going on. And then if someone tells you, oh, but you're feeling this because of that, and this is how you solve it, like, oh, you are not comfortable in your body. Who has never felt comfortable who has ever only felt comfort in the body? I think a lot of people have not.
No.
And having kids and telling them from a young age that, oh, you might be feeling this way because you are actually a different gender.
Nobody's talking about gender in this.
Oh, 100%. How many kids in the US literally end up having sex changes at a very young age?
Why is this? This is not a US thing. This is a worldwide thing at this point, or a Western thing at this point. This is not an
American
thing.
Which is started from the US, because the US is the West.
No, I don't think that this started in the US. I think the conversation may have started in
the U.S.?
The U.S., all right. There was an option.
Okay, yeah.
There was, like, the conversation may have started in the U.S., but it's not like people are just running around and saying to their kids, like, oh, you feel bad? That must be that you're feeling, like, you're going to go by they, them now. That's not what people are
but
doing.
But parents don't do that, but education can do that.
But nobody is talking to primary school children about sex changes or about gender. I don't think, yeah, I agree, gender shouldn't necessarily be something that is taught at school, but about your body and how feeling uncomfortable can be okay is extremely important, because that's basically the opposite of what you're saying. Yeah, it's every child who is going through puberty is going to feel uncomfortable with their body changing and not understand it. But having that conversation with the child and saying, it's okay to feel uncomfortable because this is what everyone is going through, that's very important.
Yes,
so then they're
I do
not
agree
confused
with that.
About it.
But then there's a lot of external bullshit that gets thrown in with that conversation. And that is something I find damaging for children.
Okay, then have a centralized curriculum for it. I think that, yeah, there should be a centralized curriculum so that there isn't a bunch of other stuff being thrown into it.
But what if your centralized curriculum includes all that extra bullshit? Because if it gets taught by education, you know, education as a whole.
Yeah.
You have textbooks you need to go through. If there is, oh, you already need to know that not everyone is male or female.
What? No, but that's not part of... Okay, so I'll give you an example. When I was in fifth grade, when we were 10 years old...
Yeah, but that was different times.
Okay, yeah. But I'm telling you, like, it's not... That doesn't happen... Okay, anyways... When I was 10 years old, the way that it worked for us is they separated the girls and the boys into separate classrooms, and they had a video that they showed us about, and we learned about women's bodies. We didn't learn anything about men's bodies. We learned about women's bodies and what it means to begin menstruating, and how to properly take care of your hygiene, what wearing deodorant means, you're going to get body hair, you know, maybe like your body will change a little bit. And so that's what we learned. And then at the end, if we had any questions, then we can go and put them in a box, and then the teacher would read them and answer any questions that we had. And it was a very open discussion thing of, you know, because people are really sensitive about talking about it when they're children. But nowadays, it's not like they have this video and then they're like, oh, and by the way, multiple genders exist. And if you're feeling uncomfortable being a woman, because everyone feels uncomfortable, I don't know for a man because I'm not a man, but like most women feel very uncomfortable becoming a woman and are embarrassed about getting their periods when they're 10 years old or 11 years old. So of course people are going to be confused, but nobody's being like, oh, you're uncomfortable being a woman. Maybe you are actually a man.
I do think that actually happens.
That does not happen. Maybe like a rare case, but that is not happening in every single school in the US.
So we also had in South Africa, we also had the whole sex talk and everything like that. A lot of the same like you. Separate the girls and the men. Then we go into like a big hall. There's a video playing, there's a presentation, there's someone at the front talking, and then afterwards you have your questions. And that is very helpful. I do think that is very, very helpful because, like, explain, you're like 12 years old. You're like 12 years old. You've never experienced anything. You're going through all these hormonal changes. Your fucking dick is starting to get hard. How? These... Sperm coming out your penis. That's a scary thing.
I've never had sperm come out of my penis before.
Exactly.
So
that's like yeah. Having your first menstruation. Like it is, yeah. It is confusing.
Yeah.
And I don't know what my point was there because I was just agreeing with you there. But I do think there's a lot of... They sneakily throw shit in into the education. And then a lot of the times...
You know,
children from a young age.
The Democrats are infiltrating our children's minds and teaching them about that gender is a fluid thing. We need more of the typical nuclear family between a man and a woman and their two kids, and that should be it.
That should be it. I think you were making... But
that was highly sarcastic.
Yeah. No, but... I do, yeah.
It is interesting times. Yeah. Say, like, a long time ago, before this gender topic was a thing, do you think that people weren't feeling that way then? Were there, like, in terms of, like, trans people, do you think people didn't have this body dysmorphia even after puberty and they were growing up? Because trans people still existed before this became a topic of conversation. Gay people still existed before gay marriage or the legalization or normalization of... homosexuality became a thing. But do you think that this only existed because people started talking about it?
No, it must have existed years beforehand. Like homosexuality, like apparently the Romans were all gays.
Of course.
Apparently they would, because they were just, this is a, how much I know about this, I just heard about it. But apparently the Romans were all fucking like all homos. They were all like fucking gays, and what they would do is, but it was for the community, because you would go into war, and then imagine going to war. I'm dying for the man I fucked last night. I will fucking kill anyone.
You need to feel at home. You need that sense of security. And you can only find it next to your other brethren.
Literally. So, like, these guys were like... Like, imagine the movie 300. Like, 300, like, Sparta, everyone.
Yeah.
Badass soldiers. But... They just add that, like, bit of gay twist to it.
It's historically accurate.
Just make
some,
it, like,
some
realistic.
Some homoerotica Roman just, Empire.
You just have, like, this most, the most intense battle scene ever. And then, like, later that night, just a huge orgy.
Slap, slap on the ass, good one.
Yeah. Good one, brethren.
Yeah, that's the point, is, like, these topics weren't... Like, didn't just all of a sudden appear. It's just that people are talking about it. We need a new issue to bring up. You know, we legalized the gay marriage. We, you know, we dealt with all the things. Well, dealt with. Not dealt with. But, like, we're moving past it now.
Slowly but surely. Slowly but surely. But I still think, yeah, there's a lot of iffies about the West. I don't like the West a lot. I fuck with the East. The East, I can, I like China and stuff.
You fuck with China?
I fuck with China.
Interesting.
Yeah, I might need to learn fucking Chinese.
I know how you feel about your human rights violations, so you're all over that.
Do you know how bad they are? Like, so the Chinese embassy is like just around the corner from mine.
Yeah.
Guaranteed, every day there's like one or other. Protest happening in front of them because it's just
really?
Like yeah always you always see someone there with a flag of being like stop China from doing this because they just I mean they are a bit ridiculous they are like they took over most of the mines in Africa and
well,
South
yeah in DRC
America.
You're the one who wanted to
in the
invest
Congo.
In Congolese mining Cobalt, industries
yeah,
yeah I looked that up and the only thing I saw was human rights violations by China taking over, they called it modern day slavery of the Chinese mining corporations in the DRC.
That's what they do. That's
yeah,
what they
and
do.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. It's,
yeah, it's fucked.
Like Bolivia, all those places, huge lithium, fucking lithium storages, resources there. We need to get it out of the ground? Someone needs to. Because we need to power our electric cars.
Yeah, and then.
And then China's just like. You know what? I got you. I got cheap labor.
No. I don't got you. I got me.
Yeah, no, it's actually bad. Like, if you look at those mines, specifically in the Congo, like, the laws and regulations state that all these miners that work there, they barely use their hands.
It's also highly toxic. That's
oh, extremely. And they get paid like $1 a day.
Maybe.
Yeah. No, it's...
It is modern day slavery.
It is modern... For your battery in your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucked.
Yeah. And that's just how it is. But like, yeah, China is definitely making big moves on the low key. Like very underground.
On the low key.
Yeah,
that's the scary thing is that people just don't know. It's not a common thing that's talked about. Because also the other thing... The U.S. has news, you know, English is a common language, so if you're living in the West, or probably in the East too, I don't know, I haven't been there, but you have access to all of these, like, news sources from the U.S., but in China, nobody can read the Chinese news, nobody really knows what's going on a day-to-day in China, or that information isn't as readily available as it is in the U.S.,
No,
you know,
definitely not.
And the U.S. and the West, or like European countries, have more of a magnifying glass on Russia than they do on China. Because everyone's looking at Russia right now. No one's looking at China. No one is looking at China.
Yeah, and Russia, like... Okay, this is one thing that I'm going to be like, the Russians did well there. So do you know about the whole Moscow concert hall where ISIS attacked or something like that just killed a bunch of people? Then these people somehow... survived. Obviously they afterwards they got caught and they got sent to they were fucking brutally hurt or like
tortured,
the one guy's ear is off they appear in court with blue eyes and like
wow, they actually made it to court
wow. And they were like no but like no shame at all they go to court they appear in court and they don't give them a bit of time to recover from all the torturing that got done to them, but they just fucking appear there, blue eyes, ear cut off, like damaged people. Fucking fair game. Do that. You have someone killing a bunch of your people, and they. How are you going to stop that? You set an example. You set an example of, oh, you're not getting a slap on the wrist, which America would have probably done.
No, that's not true. The US?
Okay, they probably would torture a few fuckers.
No, they would just kill them.
Yeah, but they don't say that.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Look at all, like, school shooters, they get shot. The US has capital punishment. European countries don't have capital punishment. They don't even have life sentences in a lot of countries here. The US, we have, like, the worst justice system in the world. You want to talk about the US justice system? No, you don't want to open that can of worms. No, the US would definitely do just the same as Russia. Maybe not cut off their ear. Or they would do that on the low-key at Guantanamo. I can't say that word. Guantanamo.
What happens there?
Guantanamo Bay?
Yeah, I know.
It's like where they go to torture all of their terrorist organization people. US.
Oh, shit.
You've never heard about Guantanamo? Oh, you need to go and do a deep dive on Guantanamo Bay later.
No, but like, so set an example. Fair game. Like, am I for torturing? As a human being civilized and looking at the ethical part of it, hell no, you should not do that. But setting an example where you're like, you know what, you fuckers killed a bunch of my people, you are going to get fucked up a bit.
Mm.
Do that, like 100%. No problem with that.
Because, I guess it's hard because you look at places like Singapore, for example, they have zero tolerance rules. Like, if you are caught doing drugs, you're done. Or Japan, like a lot of countries, if you're caught doing drugs or, you know, doing these things that would be, you know, violations, but minor violations in a lot of Western countries, you're going to jail. You no ifs, ands, or buts, you're done. Like, there's a zero tolerance policy. And that works. It keeps everyone in check. But then also in places like in Norway, for example, where there was the guy who went and... No, I guess that's a bad example, because he will be in prison for the rest of his life. But they don't have life sentences in Norway, for example.
Yeah.
Even their prisons are
like very nice.
And they focus on rehabilitation. Lifelong sentences don't exist. And that works really well. So I think both systems work. Personally, I don't believe in capital punishment. And I don't think that torturing should be a thing, because I don't think a government should have that much power over its people. I don't think the government should have the power to decide whether who gets to live and who gets to die within their own people. Or I guess in general.
Yeah. Okay. I think that is a fair statement. I do see there is a problem with that. But I still think, do that. Go wild. Like these.
That being said.
Like Russia just doesn't give a fuck. They just have.
No government gives a fuck.
Okay. Also true.
Please.
Okay. Before we wrap it up, we're like a good hour in. I wanted to talk a bit about like artificial intelligence, because this is personally one of the things that like I'm very passionate about it, in the way that I do think a lot of things will change within the next year or two.
Yeah,
because shit is scary. I work on this, like I try to work on AI. This week we had spring break.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my artificial intelligence break. I was literally...
You've been on a deep dive.
Oh, the deepest of dives. And like the amount of times where I do the coding, I'm busy working. 90% of the time it doesn't work out. But at least once or twice a day, I'd be like, what? This is fucking scary. It's scary how smart this is.
Even ChatGPT is scary.
ChatGPT is nothing right now. Like, it's like GPT-4 is the processing power is amazing. It's it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, have you ever heard of Sora?
No.
Or Devon? Devon, they released Devon not too long ago. Like, Devon it's a coding engineer, but it like does everything itself. Like, You tell what you want to get done. Mm-hmm. It sets out a plan and a format of how to do it. And then, let's say it codes something. There's something wrong with the code. It will identify what's wrong, process how to change it itself, and then continue on.
Now, how are you still struggling with your code?
Yeah, because I'm just useless. But, like, no, the technology is scary. The technology is so scary. And I think sometimes I'm like, what will happen with work in the future if we have this technology that is so smart?
Oh, humans are going to become irrelevant. Humans are going to become stupid. Like, it's all going to become Wall-E. We're all going to become Wall-E. Haven't you seen that movie?
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, with all the fat Americans on the ship.
Okay, people. It's an American movie. Americans. Fat people.
Just like no one moves. They just like they on their scooter.
But already people don't really need to think for themselves. Think about college essays, for example. I'm going into, like, I'm thinking about job applications. I have to write motivation letters and everything now. And the only thing I could think about when I sat down to write, I was like, nobody has to write anything anymore. You can just throw everything into ChatGPT. Write, like, write a motivation letter for this job that I want to get. And then, poof, it writes a motivation letter better than I could ever write myself.
I even think, like, education. Like, how many students survive off ChatGPT?
It's insane. I talked to my sister who is, like, doing her degree in media, and when she's writing essays, they all, and, you know, there's ways that the professors can check to see if anyone has used AI, except I don't think they can with ChatGPT. I'm not sure. But yeah, nobody's writing essays anymore. They're all using AI.
Everyone is. Yeah.
It's nobody has a single original thought in their brain anymore. At all. Original thoughts do not exist, especially because we're all on TikTok and YouTube and whatever other social media. We're all just one giant brain at this point.
Yeah. That's in the future. That's what you're talking about. That's
terrifying.
Yeah.
We're all becoming one single thought.
Yeah, just like one hive mind. Just like everyone is
thinking. Yeah.
No, but like work, at least, I'm telling you now, if you have, let's say you have an entrepreneur. Entrepreneur does his work. He has assistants below him, helping him to manage this and that, what he can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And then that level, let's say below that, where these assistants that help the entrepreneur, the workforce that you would create below that level will all get removed by artificial intelligence. Like, all of that will get removed. And that's...
I feel like it's the opposite, though. You kind of need the workforce to manage all of the tasks, but then you just need, like, a central processing power.
Okay.
Like, forget the CEO. CEOs don't do shit. You could just replace the CEO with AI, but you need, like, the linemen to do the work. I guess it depends on which industry you're talking
about. Yeah, okay, let's try and put this in a more practical example, and then we work from there. So, let's say there's this new entrepreneur that wants to create, what is a cool product? He found out a way to make better coffee cups.
Okay.
To make better coffee cups, right? So this entrepreneur is running around doing how to produce it, where to produce it, stuff like that. Then there's obviously a sales rep.
Mm-hmm.
And within the sales rep, there's maybe that needs to work underneath him, administration, right? So you have these three entities, the entrepreneur, admin, and sales.
Oh, see, I was talking about the people making the cups.
Oh, no, you definitely need that. Well, that will probably also be automated.
You still need people. I guess factories could be AI run at this point.
Yeah, like what can... Let me show you Sora. Do you want to see Sora?
Yes.
Sora is very interesting. So Sora is like this new technology that OpenAI brought up. Like, it's not open for the public. Like, a lot of the things that is ran by OpenAI is not ready for the public yet. But it pretty much turns text into videos.
Hmm.
So I would say, make me a... Yeah, here's some Sora. So,
is it free?
Not yet. It's not even available for people. So, the prompt here was like a Japanese girl walking down Tokyo and having... Okay, yeah. So, historical footage of California during the gold rush.
Whoa, that's crazy. That's actually super cool.
No, it's like very cool. Like the problem with it is, like, I'll show you now. There's this video that they did with a
You're
dog.
You're not going to be able to know what's right.
No,
wrong.
You won't be able to. Like, already
you
now.
Can't. Yeah.
Or like now, at least because I have good exposure in the field, I plus minus know. I'm like, oh, this is definitely AI created. This is not.
I have no idea.
It is hard to tell. It is literally hard to tell. Wait, here's the dog one. So, like, the physics of the images they create is not there yet.
Mm.
So wait, look how it walks.
Oh yeah.
Like it just looks awkward.
Yeah,
it looks
a bit awkward. Yeah.
But this is give it a year and this is done. So like Sora got released to a certain small portion of people that can like that check regulations on it. A lot of producers of like movies and films,
mm-hmm.
they got given also access to it to
That's
see
the thing.
How they
media. I mean,
what about actors?
I was thinking like I don't know about actors. I don't think actors will be the first one to go. I think models will be the first to go.
Okay.
Why
in
are
which
you getting
aspect? You still need beautiful people to walk in the clothes.
Who goes to fashion shows anymore? Are fashion shows still a thing?
I've never been to a fashion show. I've never been to a fashion
Yeah, me
show.
Neither. Who the fuck goes to fashion shows? Like, that's not a thing. It's going to be completely taken over by AI because who goes to fashion shows? You could, if you really want to, you could just watch them online. But
okay, yeah.
You can just watch AI walk in the clothes. Or I was thinking about this, books. Authors? Why are you going to need authors anymore when you could just have AI write an entire book in 2 seconds?
Yeah, but is that a good book or is that... Because I do think AI is not there yet where, like us as humans, we have this...
Emotional aspect, ability to reason.
Not just that, more like there's something we can click into and then create art out of. Like... You have, like, for example, Jimi Hendrix on his guitar.
Mm-hmm.
When he came out, he was brilliant because how do you make these sounds out of a guitar? You have people like Mozart creating music, and this is not music that you can recreate out of copying him. This is original, new, it's everything like that. So this, the artistic side that a human has, I don't think we'll be able to get taken away.
Yeah.
But, like, what makes a good book?
Depends. I think, yeah, I guess because the point of AI is that it's taking things that have already been done and rearranging them. But then that begs to differ. Are humans really able to come up with an individual thought? So are humans actually creating original things or are they also just rearranging? Yeah, does that make sense?
I also think what does the human brain do? It looks at the environment it has around it,
yeah.
The information that was given by the environment, mm-hmm. and it processes that through the brain, and that is what you do. That is
right, and that's the exact same thing that AI does. It takes
at a very small scale compared to the human brain right now.
I don't know. I think AI is smarter than the human. AI is way smarter because it has access to all of the human brains,
and it doesn't forget.
Exactly. It doesn't forget and it has access to all of the brains. It's just centralizing all of the brains into one.
And then, do you think, right, wild, like, 5 years in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have artificial intelligence that is smarter than us. We probably already have. Then we have Neuralink that Elon Musk is working on because that just helps a lot. Having technology smarter than us, technology within our brains, fucking merge it, and then you have fucking human robots.
Just upload us into a cloud.
Yeah.
We don't actually need to exist anymore. We just need to be uploaded into a cloud, and we can just exist without actually physically being there.
That's so sad. That sounds
is it so sad or is it really cool?
Sad.
Why?
Sad. What? It takes everything away from the human experience.
It's part of the human experience, but just to go back, people are having diabetes and hypertension and heart disease. We're all going to die before we get to that point anyways. I mean, kids have hypertension nowadays. Just to loop back, we're all too unhealthy to ever get to the point where we could just upload ourselves onto a cloud.
Yeah, and then...
The cloud would weigh too much.
Too much stupid brain power in that. No, I don't know. It's a tough one. Hmm. It's a tough one. Okay, but on that note, we'll wrap up this podcast.
All right,
Thank you again for another GVO podcast.
I'm always here for the boys. Mondays are for the girls.
Yeah, Mondays are for the girls. Saturdays are for the boys.
Okay,
and then see you guys next week. And thank you again for another episode.
Adios, amigos.